Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. That's from way back. You remember that one? That's a request from one of our lone wolves out there, dedicated to the she-wolves on Friday, Freya's Day, as Ladies' Day in the Bunker. We'll have another request from that same person at the end of the show. This is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger in the Bunker. Yep, right here. And it is the 9th of May, 2014, Freya's Day, and we still got a half moon up there, and it's a little overcast today, but it's warm. I'm in my shorts, boys. That means whenever Tommy puts on his shorts, it's summertime, or at least late springtime. I'll tell you, everything's growing around here. All the trees are blooming out, and the flowers, and we got some tulips already out in the backyard, and boy, oh boy, and the birds are tweeting and eating too much food. I feed those damn birds too much food. I'll tell you, I go through about 50 pounds in a couple of weeks. So you get an idea how many birds I'm feeding. Feeders situated in my patio. One's within about 4 feet of my window in my bedroom where I can look out. And I observe the birds. I don't know whether you've ever done much of that, but it's very interesting to watch the different breeds of birds come in and how they interconnect, work together on eating the food and so forth like that. And sometimes they get in little fights and all kinds of stuff. So it's interesting to watch the wild up close. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And that's right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern, where a lot of our music comes from. And let's see now. Okay, the weapons of mass destruction is wide open, man. We're doing so much. People coming in here from all over the place, man, with their 18-wheelers buying up that stuff. I knew the minute it warmed up, boy, this place would be jumping. Yeah, that's right. Asked me yesterday about James Von Brunn's book, Kill the Best Gentiles. Well, it is available on ebook, and we have it in PDF. So if you go to resist.com, or if you go to resist or merchandise resist at yahoo.com, you can find out about it, and probably, I think it's, we've got it up there on the website, you can download it. Well, I finally got some of the platform for the Golden Dawn people over there in Greece, and it's a lot better than I thought. However, it said, it starts out here, we march at the forefront of the people's struggle for bread and work. That's good. Greeks have an inalienable right to existence. Well, I don't agree with that. Nobody's got an inalienable right, and especially an inalienable right to existence. I'm sorry, boys and girls, but you don't. Anyhow, they said also opportunity and dignity. Well, you don't have a right to any of this stuff. You have a privilege. Nature gives you maybe the ability to back it up. Yeah. Second paragraph, they say, we stand in opposition of the oligarchy of wealth, which is intertwined with the parasitical usury capital to rob the blood, sweat, and sacrifices of our people. Well, I can't agree any more with that. That's great. I agree with that. Nationalists will only sign that which grants sovereignty and justice for our brothers and sisters. But remember, anything that can be granted to you can be taken away. We seek to completely stamp out the long-term unemployment that is spreading like a plague across the stratum of Greek society, whether it is mental labor or manual labor. I like that. That's good. So far, so good. We scorn the causes of our misery, whether social or economic. We expose those national and global enemies who enacted policies that led to the ultimate destruction of Greek industry and the productive infrastructures of the nation. We ask those who scapegoat Golden Dawn, did we create the millions of impoverished and unemployed? No. This is the product of decades of liberal insanity and unquenchable thirst of vulture capitalists. Well, I would say not only liberal insanity, but conservative insanity, too. It can be just as insane. Yeah. Of course, from what I understand, we think about liberalism and conservatism a little differently here than they do over there. So, anyhow, shameless are the Marxist liars who hijack the workers' movement for only to betray them at the drop of a hat. A mockery of the worker occurs when the soft pink hands pushing Bolshevism, well, I say capitalism too, write up false slogans of class hatred. The nationalist believes in the real power of the proletariat, working class, and the popular will, while the communist, as history has consistently shown, only wants an army of slaves to indoctrinate with Marxism and self-hatred of Greeks. Okay. On this May 1st, we're witnessing a massive shift in history. The Greek worker is now marching under the banners of pride. The capitalist profiteers and communist nation retarders have joined forces yet again. While Greeks lose their jobs and have their wages cut, the Red-Blue-Green Alliance continues to bring in illegal aliens, invaders. We can now see that the only ones waving red flags are the Pakistanis and other illegal immigrants. The capitalists brought into Greece as slave labor to line their pockets. The People's Association of Golden Dawn is a political movement of Greek workers and Greek youth. It is the only force in Greece capable of building a genuine social and national state. We're the only group in with clean hands, and the people see it clear. The political program of the Golden Dawn gives common sense and reasonable solutions to our problems. Our goal is to create a prosperous, self-sufficient nation that its citizen can be proud to live in. This can only be achieved on two conditions: the tearing up of the unpatriotic and economy-retarding Troika, and the establishment of a new state in its place, with Golden Dawn as the Greek people's guarantee. 2. The rebirth of national production. We will bring back national production with only Greek hands able to work and produce in our nation. The value of Greek workers to the People's Nationalist Movement is priceless and cannot even be put on a scale with the lesser work offered by the hordes of illegal invaders. Greek hands will bring back bread to the Greek families, and we will create employment for Greek workers, especially the young, so that they can be part of the national renewal project. The day will come when the people known for their warriors and philosophers for establishing the idea of civilized humanity will once again take over the position it deserves beneath the mighty sun. Rise high the Mindros banners. Long live Labor Day. This was a speech put out on Labor Day. Okay, now, based upon what I just read, I can support the Golden Dawn, which I had not directly done in the past because I was not really sure what the hell they were representing. So now that I see it laid out like that, and as long as they're true to what they say, they have my support. Old Terrible Tommy here, for whatever that means. But one piece of advice: don't follow old ways, don't try to copy things that have been done before and failed, and so forth and so on. Think outside the box, Mr. Greek man. Think outside the box. Another follow-up item: if you're living in a world where it's really almost impossible to trust everybody, if anybody, Golden Dawn needs a shadow bunch of lone wolves with teeth below the surface of the ocean, so to speak, and dive at periscope depth, because you're in a precarious position operating democratically, that's for sure. And I would suggest that you have a strong, very well laid out lone wolf or underground, you know. I think you're going to need it as time goes on. You know, back in the 20s, the United States Army manual, official manual of the Army, listed the different types of government, and which was the best and which was the worst. Well, let me tell you something. Democracy, the United States Army had listed as the very worst form of government. And, of course, it's not even been closely achieved here anyhow in this country. They call it democracy, but it was supposed to, in the beginning, be a republic. So, but anyhow, we can see very simply how unworkable this voting system is. We had this vote yesterday here in this area where I'm at, and voter turnout was only 19.61%, with 9,899 out of 50,472 voters showing up to the polls. That means the people are unhappy. It's not so much that they're lazy, they're just unhappy with the whole system. So the winner here in this, what was he running for? State representative, this guy that won, he only received 4,632 votes, or 65% of the total cast. to win. So 4,632 voters out of 50,472. And that's not including the people who were qualified to register to vote and didn't register. That's just the registered voters. So you can see what a small percentage of people tend to run the show, and like here in this county, this area, it's the Republican Party. They've got it all wrapped up. The Democrat Party are a bunch of fools. And so I'm telling you that this is no democracy. It's only democracy only works if people all get out and vote. Now, I don't vote because I don't want to show confidence in the system. But under a healthy system, almost all the people should turn out to vote. So anyhow, there you go. More nonsense. Just a few people run the show. It's oligarchy from Washington all the way down to the counties. Hope you realize that oligarchy means rule by the few. You wonder what politicians do with their time every day? This is from the New York delegation, the New York state government. This is what they play around with while you're working.
We on this show discuss politics, and we have sometimes been known to criticize, lampoon, to take fun and poke it. Well, tonight we remove our jester's cap in respectful salute to Democracy on Parade. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the New York State Senate.
This bill would designate yogurt as the official state snack of the state of New York.
New York State Senator Michael Reisenhofer, at the behest of a local fourth grade class attempting to bring forth into law an official honor for New York's vaunted yogurt industry. It's what's known in legislative circles as a gimme, a no-brainer, the type of feel-good pro-business and probiotic.
Does the sponsor yield for a few questions?
Wait, the sponsor yield for questions? Who dareth rise? Senator Rivera, what quibble dost thou proffer?
As far as a state snack, what exactly are we defining as a snack here?
Touché. A philosophical query. Your answer, Senator Reisenhofer.
I think it's self-explanatory. I mean, you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then you have snacks.
Well, I think we're done here. I believe there are no further questions. Perhaps we can move on to a vote.
Did you consider, say, the potato chip as a potential state snack?
No.
Did the sponsor consider raisins as a potential official state snack?
No.
Did the sponsor consider perhaps pretzels as the potential state official state snack?
Never.
Never! I never did and I never shall! For the pretzel is an abomination to take perfectly good dough, to twist it, to bake it within an inch of its life! And then to salt it as the Romans did to Carthage. It is outrage. It is an outrage.
I don't like pretzels.
Sorry, Senator Rivera, you weren't finished.
What if, through you, Mr. President, if this pretzel was dipped in yogurt? Would that then be considered, could we consider that? That'd be two in one, Mr. President.
Oh, my God. This guy is Batman. What say you, Senator Hasselhoff?
Yogurt would be the state snack. The pretzel would not.
The pretzel, if so dipped, would be the state snack conveyance or delivery method. For which designation I refer to the Subcommittee on Snack Transportation.
I'm telling you, this was maybe the best 40 minutes any legislative chamber anywhere in the country has ever spent. But of course, as all good things must come to an end, we do have to move to a vote.
For you, the sponsor would please yield.
Are you f-ing kidding me? All right, Senator Krueger.
Would we need to require that the state snack of New York be yogurt that is produced in the state of New York?
Dear God, answer her.
Is there a definition of the kind of yogurt that would be our state snack?
I don't believe that the fourth graders wanted to discriminate between different types of yogurts.
I'm going to be honest with you guys right here. I'm sure the fourth graders didn't even want to do this project. I'm sure they weren't even interested. I'm sure it was an assignment, some sort of weird interpretation of the Common Core. So the kids are like, I don't need Miss Rossi's idea. I don't know. And as for you, Krueger, I got no patience for this nitpickery. Nobody. I don't want to hear any more of your petty complaints about the yogurt bill.
One of my possible concerns with supporting yogurt as the New York State official snack is the issue of lactose intolerance.
On second thought, I yield the floor. Senator Hootenanny, what say you?
There is soy yogurt, which does not have the very products which you're concerned about. And that's why, back to your earlier question, in terms of designating a specific type of yogurt, yogurt is a very generic and all-inclusive type of product.
This guy's like the Ken Jennings of yogurt. He's got an incredibly encyclopedic and fluid argumentative style. Until it all came crashing down.
We have the state flower, we have the state tree, which is the sugar maple. And lastly, let me talk about the state muffin. The state muffin is the apple muffin, which was named in 1987. And again, you know, when you're talking about the apple muffin, it's not the fact that the apple muffin is baked in Syracuse or the apple muffin is baked in New York City. It's the fact that... It's the fact that we have the apple muffin.
Yeah? Yeah, the apple muffin. Yeah? Nice, good, nice. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, the apple muffin's funny to you? The apple muffin's a joke? What, is the apple muffin a clown to you? Huh? Is that it? Is the apple muffin here to amuse you? What's so funny about the New York State apple muffin? That was my favorite part of the whole debate. We go now to our senior state snack correspondent, Jessica Williams, live outside the Capitol building. You were there, obviously, for the entire debate.
Yes, I was.
What was the feeling inside the chamber?
It was contentious, John,
mm-hmm.
and not just on the floor.
Right.
There was also this dramatic outburst from the gallery. Just take a look.
Certainly.
This particular situation...
They asked the sergeant to remove those who are making noise in the chamber right now.
That was...
Mm-hmm.
That was... Who was causing this disturbance, Jessica?
There's only one group that stages radical protests to disrupt the proceedings every time yogurt-based legislation is on the table. It's code Pinkberry, John.
Thank you, Jessica. Jessica Williams, everybody. I wanted to give you the update. In the end, the bill passed 52-8 and will move on to the New York State Assembly. But before the Assembly takes up debate on State Bill A8994, I want to remind them that when it comes to yogurt attaining the designation of state snack, I must reinforce to our representatives that the good people of New York do not give a
So that gives you a little idea what our representatives do at the state government. Now, if they're doing that in New York State, they're probably doing it right here in Indiana, or not too far from where I'm sitting. Yeah, I'm still waiting for some licorice yogurt. Well, it seems I'm falling behind on my Somalian relocation plan to the glorious white town of Leith, North Dakota, with one black man. Somalia overload in Greeley and Fort Morgan, Colorado, get this, is sending Somalis on northward migration to settle in Wyoming, according to good reporting from the Wyoming Tribune Eagle. One fact that they need to pursue, however, in light of this article, which I was sure was going to lead to, this is why we need to have a refugee settlement program in Wyoming. And I just had somebody talk about moving to land on Montana. Is that if the Lutheran Family Services Rocky Mountains sets up shop in Wyoming, they will be bringing new refugees from Africa, Iraq, Iran, and countries in Asia directly to Wyoming. Yeah, for all you guys that are still hanging on to Christianity and say Christianity is not a danger, Christianity is not the enemy, Christ insanity is the enemy. The federal contractors do, now of course you know the State Department's in on this. These contractors do not take care of secondary migrants. Invaders like these Somalis in Cheyenne, who have been there for months or years in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Can you believe it? They're like anyone else who moves from one state to another and should not require special services. No, they're not like anybody else. Do you know any Somalis? I do. I've seen them out in Southern California. Ask the folks in St. Cloud, Minnesota, how the Somali population expanded there at the same time the Lutherans opened their federally funded office. Be sure to talk to the mayor of Lewiston, Maine, the Somali capital of New England, to about what happened to them when the Somalis resettled originally in Georgia, discovering the services Maine had to offer. The word services is, of course, the sanitized words for welfare goodies. Keep in mind as you read this article that meatpackers and often foreign-owned companies get cheap captive labors, and you, the American taxpayer, supports the rest of the refugee family's life. By the way, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions called out the meatpackers as being among the chief lobbyists for amnesty. Now to the story of an attractive, apparently likable Somali refugee with an African sob story. History. Why is this our problem? As the star of the article, this must be J School 101. Start out with sympathetic character to warm up the readers. Okay, let's see what they got to say here. Cheyenne, Wyoming, Dateline. While Wyoming might be the only state in the country without an official refugee resettlement program, do you get that? Every state in the union has a resettlement program, and it's being run by churches and the State Department. That doesn't mean that there aren't former refugees living in the cowboy state. There are dozens, perhaps even several hundred, former refugees living in the capital city alone. Many of these people, like the Abashid Noor, are from the war-torn East African nation of Somalia. That's where the capitalists go over there to get the goodies, arm the rebels, arm whoever they want to keep in power or out of power. They tear the country to hell, and then they bring the wretched refuse over here. I'm telling you, better start thinking of some place to migrate to, because they're going to fill this country up with not only homegrown Negroes, but African Negroes. Read the many paragraphs about the hellhole that is East Africa, where these people come from. Noor's life changed, however, forever in 2007 when he was accepted into the University of Northern Colorado. Be sure to go back and read the interesting history that this writer posted about Greeley, Colorado, and the University of Northern Colorado's role in the history of modern day Islamic extremism. The Tribune Eagle story continues. The migration is on. The Greeley connection. Noor came to Greeley, Colorado to study accounting at UNC. As fate would have it, when he arrived, he found that the city was home to a growing Somali community. Unlike Noor, the majority of Somalis in Greeley did not come to attend the university. They came to work in a nearby meatpacking facility operated by the Brazilian meat processing company, JBS, and that's not John Birch Society. Quote, when people come into this country and they don't know the language, they have a lot of issues getting jobs, Noor said. Yeah. If you can't communicate with other people and you can't understand what other people are saying, they aren't going to hire you. So the only area where people from the East Africa and Somalia get hired is JBS or another meat plant. They don't require communication skills as long as you can do the work, he said. Because jobs at the meat plant are typically low-paying, many of the Somali employees in Greeley rely on government-subsidized housing programs like Section 8. As the Somali population in Greeley grew, so did the waiting list for programs like Section 8. Surprise, surprise. Colette West, co-executive director of the Global Refugee Center in Greeley, said the waiting list for housing subsidies in Colorado can be as long as 3 years. That means needy Americans wait too. Yeah. Actually, if you're from another country, 3 years is not bad. Mike Stanfield, executive director of the Cheyenne Housing Authority, said some folks in Colorado found out the waiting list for subsidizing housing programs was still open in Cheyenne, and they came up here and applied. According to Noor, many people in Cheyenne's Somali community commute to Greeley to work in the meat plant. Others, he said, have taken jobs here in places like the Walmart Distribution Center west of town. There you go, Christian churches and corporations. Navigating through the system means that they need people in the know to direct them to all the available social services, housing, health care, food stamps, interpreters, education for kids, and other government assistance. So there's a special classes arise to show them the easy way of getting on the dole. In places like Greeley, where Somali communities have existed for years, oh God, that makes you sick. There is a system in place to help new immigrants, new invaders, gain access to services and educational programs. But because the Somali community here is newer, those services are sometimes harder to find in Cheyenne. Quote, they're going to need help navigating all the systems, West said. It's very hard when you don't speak the language. And as the city's Somali population grows, color them Negroes, so will the need for services. Yeah, that you stupid serf taxpayers are going to pay for. So someone like Noor will be paid with taxpayer dollars to be sure to get his fellow countrymen on the taxpayer-funded social services roster in Laramie County, Wyoming. For ambitious readers, we have 90 previous posts in a category entitled Greeley Swift Somali Controversy going back at least 5 years. So at least somebody is blowing the whistle. Well, even newspapers out there in the West. Casper Newspaper endorses refugee settlement, resettlement for Wyoming. This is from a critic of that. It is really no surprise most of the local print media will do this, cave in to Washington and the ruling elites on immigration of any sort with an emotional plea not based on facts, even if the citizens are violently opposed. 7 years ago, the local paper, where I live, did the same thing. But there's no longer a refugee program here. Well, anyhow, see what they're doing to us. They're bringing them in here by the hundreds and by the thousands. Who's your enemy? Who are the racial criminals? Christian churches and the State Department. That's where 99% of it's coming from. That newspaper said, Wyoming, this is a Casper newspaper, Star Tribune, Wyoming must do more to welcome niggers. They call them refugees. They're looking to escape the direst of circumstances, from torture to genocide to human trafficking, and we're missing out on an opportunity to help resettle them for everyone's benefit. The white community benefit? How does it benefit us? Dumping more and more stupid niggers on us. Excuse me while I roll on the floor with laughter. It's not about welfare. It's about help in times of horror. Members of the non-governmental agency pick up refugees from the airport and take them to an apartment stocked with donations. Refugees begin learning the language and their children are enrolled in school. They start with food stamps, but for most refugees, governmental support begins to diminish after 8 months. And then they're in direct competition for low-income jobs. Within 4 months, they must have jobs. In fact, they're even required to repay the cost of their plane tickets. Yeah, right. Well, of course they should. They should be required to pay for their plane tickets out of the country, too. Now, when they say they got to have jobs, now, where are those jobs going to come from when there's no jobs around for Americans or whites? Where are those jobs coming from? For every job that's lost to a white man or woman, it's picked up by a non-white. A program would take no state money, this paper says. The federal government would funnel resettlement money through Wyoming agencies and non-governmental organizations. Where in the hell do you think the money comes in the first place? Washington doesn't have any money that they first don't rob the people, the taxpayers all over the country for, and then give it away. I'm convinced more and more there needs to be civil war and revolution in this country. Then it goes on. We have thousands of posts on these pages spanning nearly 7 years that demonstrate how Wyoming is being sold a bill of goods. Won't cost the state a dime. What a joke. Why any Republican in his or her right mind would invite the feds to take more control of their state is something I can't fathom. Well, that's because that's what the Republican Party does, the property party. Well, here's some replies from people that live out that way. And then after the refugees arrive, there will be bills in the state legislature about the need to increase funding to schools because of all the English language learners. Advocates will call for increases in property taxes because the English language learners. No joke, this is an editorial from yesterday in Iowa. Storm Lake could get a big boost if an effort by the Iowa Senate to extend extra funding to school districts trying to teach invaders English. A bill out of the Education Committee would extend a number of years districts receive extra funding from 5 years to 7 years. And in the same story, to better serve ELL students from Storm Lake and Denison, must levy higher property taxes to keep the program strong, unquote. And it finishes with, quote, everything comes with a price. Learning English is no different, unquote. Yep, spend, spend, spend away the increases these property taxes while you are at it. See, they're not going to mention race because most whites are too goddamn cowardly to say race no matter what, even though their race is being destroyed right in front of them. Another letter. Just why just what Wyoming needs. Our country has no water, no jobs, unemployment has run out, and we don't need more refugees on welfare or taking jobs from citizens. Obama cuts our military, but has money for refugees. Refugees and illegals create more gangs, fraud, rapes, and home invasions, theft. The community is not able to handle the cost of welfare, medical, schools, police, language barriers, and courts. Tell me 5 years from now how this is going to be working. Wyoming should have visited some of the refugee communities in California before they committed to invaders and the cost here in Wyoming. You got to understand, all your legislators are going along with this. Even the ones that cry and moan, they're not going any farther than that. They may act like they're putting up a resistance, but they're not at all. They're afraid of the Christian lobby is what they're afraid of. That's what they're afraid of, the Christian lobby. Well, this is sort of a Hawaiian native going off on some white people. He looks like he's got white blood in him too, but in some ways I agree. Whites should not be controlling Hawaii. But at the same time, we should be shipping everybody that identifies with Hawaii racially out of this country back to Hawaii. What do you think?
Hit me, bro?
No, I'm not.
I'll put my hands in my fucking pocket, cuz. I'll put my hands in my fucking pocket, cuz. What's up? Mind your own fucking business, dog. Eat your fucking food, dog. Sit down.
We will.
Eat your fucking food.
We will. We
Who cares, bro? This is Hawaii. We do whatever the fuck we want out here. Abuse dogs, hit women. That's all we do. What? You got something against that, dog?
No, we're
Go
eating.
Go back to your fucking...
We don't have any problems.
Eat. Put your fucking phone down before I break your fucking phone.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mind your own fucking business.
Okay, we're done. We're
you
done.
Know what I, you know what I don't like? Dumb white people like you guys.
All right, I'm sorry.
Fuck you guys. Because you guys fucking took this land from us. Fuck white people. Fuck white people.
Got it, done.
Bro, fuck them. Don't let them fucking talk to you like that. These are fucking tourists. Fuck that. We fucking locals. Far to the people, motherfuckers.
Right.
Fuck white people.
Like
fuck white right. people. Fuck Howie! They like take our fucking land!
Okay, no worries. We're just dog lovers.
Fucking
dog
fucking right. nerds. You like fucking tell this guy what to do.
Are you fucking I'm already doing it if you want to call the police.
Huh?
You
want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Fuck white people. They took our land.
You think you should call the police?
Yeah. I dare you fucking try to be a hero again. I dare you.
Howie,
I fucking dare you,
did,
you be a hero.
Sure
I dare you be a fucking hero, dog. Oh, you don't even know how much shit Hawaiian shit. Oh, fuck holy people. Fuck white people. Fuck white people.
Took place with one skinny Hawaiian, about 5'6", skinny, flapping his gums, and white men were standing around there and they didn't do a damn thing. Not one thing. So when whites won't fight, hell with them. Let them get it. You know why all this Benghazi thing? This is a false flag, this Benghazi deal. The Republicans are going to milk it all the way to the election to keep your mind off of this immigration situation. Because the Republicans, sooner or later, are going to sign some real liberal immigration bill. You wait and see. And they're going to, but they don't want to get involved in the discussion about the immigration bill. Because they know that it's going to split their party up. So they're going to spend all their time on Benghazi. Forget Benghazi. There's nothing you can do about Benghazi, no matter who's at fault. It's over. If you weren't over there screwing around, you wouldn't have these problems. Pull your ambassadors and representatives out of there. Pull the troops out. Pull everything out. Quit whining about Benghazi. And quit using it as a false flag excuse to keep white people's minds off the real problem, and that's the non-white invasion. Well, that's about it for today, boys and girls. Going to cut it a little short. Got a lot of work to do here on the computer, so I'll be back with you tomorrow on Saturn's Day. Yeah, 14-5 and shut up. Here comes another request song, and it's called My Eyes Adore You, if I can find it. Okay.
mind of Georgia. Oh, I never laid a hand on you, mind of Georgia. Like a million miles away from me, you couldn't see how I adored you. So close, so close and yet so far. Carried your books from school.
There you go, She-Wolves. That's till next Friday, Freya's Day. We'll see you then.